Canucks Central Thursday. It is a must-win game edition of the show. Pretty close. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. Canucks and St. Louis Blues, the two teams tied on 75 points in the standings for the second wild card spot in the Western Conference, going to battle for the third and final time tonight. This one in St. Louis, the two teams have split the first two games of the campaign between them, and the Canucks really needing a victory here, with the Blues having a bit of a cupcake schedule through the end of the season. Of the teams fighting in the wild card spot, the Blues have the best strength of schedule, which is to say
easiest schedule
remaining.
They're playing like three good teams, and two of them are Colorado. Like, those are the three games they have. So it's like twice against Colorado and once against Winnipeg.
Yeah, and then you kind of get into that weird area down the end of the season where it's like, are those games going to mean anything for those teams? Are they going to be resting some guys, maybe getting some load management into play?
Now, we'll see against the Blues here tonight. Like, you know, it's not going to be an easy game. But at the same time, they've been riding some percentages. Does that luck dry out for them here, too, before the end of the season?
You would hope so if you're a Canucks fan. And I know a lot of our listeners here on Canucks Central are. Let's bring it in. It's the Open on Canucks Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
It's the Open on Canucks Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And the latest on us is neither of us filled out a bracket. Yeah. So you will not be getting any bracketology here.
No,
Sat and I are combined 2,743 years old, and we're past this whole bracket nonsense.
Yeah, I went to fill one out last night and go through it, and let's just say I ran out of time. And I didn't feel comfortable doing one. I'm like, forget it.
I'll say with complete certainty, I would have picked McNeese over Clemson.
Yeah.
Because I always pick 1-12 seed. You know, always one.
I will say your producer, Josh, and I have a perfect score right now.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Wow.
Look at you.
The only ones left at the 650 bracket.
Wow. Look at that.
Wow.
We got a couple of bracket savants within our midst.
We should call your new show Bracket Lunch, if you guys, or Bracket Brunch.
Bracket Brunch?
Yeah.
Yes. Bracket Brunch. Josh just came into the studio.
He's excited.
We don't know how long this is going to last, okay?
Just ride the wave. Yeah.
Do either of you have McNeese or no?
We both do.
Wow. Unbelievable. Somebody read a lot of articles that said McNeese might win.
See, this is why you do research.
Yes.
You know?
Doing homework is cool.
Yeah.
Pays off.
That's Linus Tagan, of course. Canucks Brunch starting next week, Monday through Friday, the new addition to the Sportsnet 650 lineup with our usual producer. He's filling in on Canucks Talk this week, and we'll be getting in on Canucks Brunch next week and back producing Canucks Central as well. He'll be a very busy guy. Golf season starting a little bit later for Josh this year, unfortunately. But I digress. Canucks have a big game. And there's a couple of things I want to get to, because Thatcher Demko was at morning skate again.
Yeah.
They have three goalies on the trip right now, Lankinen, Shelovs, and Demko. Not the first time we've seen this. Demko has traveled with the team earlier this year when he wasn't even really all that close to getting back into game action. But as we talked about with Kevin Woodley yesterday, and as Rick Tocchet even hinted at today, Demko is getting close to a return, and that gets us all excited. We don't know exactly when just yet. I think smart money would say it's not in these next two games. Obviously not tonight against the Blues. Saturday, 1 o'clock local time in New York, doesn't make sense to get him in there. But then on Monday, that starts to be when you wonder if Demko could be an option for the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, that game against the Devils on Monday or Wednesday against the Islanders, I would guess he's playing one of those two games.
Yeah, barring any kind of setbacks, it seems like that's where we're trending.
And if he's playing one of those two games, that means there's 12 games remaining at that point in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's, let's say he plays the New York game, that's 11 games left. So how many starts for Demko? You know, one thing I wondered when he first got hurt, I was like, maybe five more starts for him?
Yeah.
You know, we had this discussion a couple weeks back.
Yeah.
It might be 6 or 5.
Well, I think a lot's going to depend on how he looks in that first game, you know, depending where the Canucks are in the standings. There's going to be, if Demko looks rusty, you know, is there going to be a want to keep going to Lankinen, who's been solid all season long? But I look at the way the Blues have handled things, right? And they are, as I said yesterday, as we talked about yesterday, the biggest threat in the wild card standings. And it's been a huge benefit for them since the Four Nations that they can and feel comfortable splitting starts between Jordan Binnington and Joel Hofer. That's got to be something you hope for the Vancouver Canucks. And if Demko looks really good, maybe he does get more than a 50% share of the starts for the remainder of the season.
So I think, is he getting more than 7?
So doubtful.
So 7 would mean if he gets a start against the Devils.
Yeah.
12 games remaining. That means he'd be getting 7 of the remaining 12. So 7 and 5.
Yeah. That seems realistic.
That would be the high end, I think.
Yeah, I think that's probably at the best case scenario. Like, Demko looks great, feels great, and he's able to go. Canucks have one back-to-back April 5th and 6th remaining on the schedule. So he's getting one of those for sure if he remains healthy. And then you start to wonder, I think then it comes down to, like, does he have the hot hand? We saw how they started to run him. I don't think they give him more than 3 consecutive starts. Like, that's probably a no-no at this point.
No, I don't think so either. I think 2, yeah. I can see. And maybe he gets on a run and they give him a little bit more. But I don't think 3. And I think
I think 3 is the max, considering how the season has gone for him.
Yeah. And if you want, I mean, if you're going to make the playoffs, and you have to get there first.
Yes.
But if you got both guys healthy, you feel very good at least about your goaltending heading into the postseason. So you want to make sure that it's not just about getting in, but also giving you a chance.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think his return might be coming at maybe the last possible minute to salvage Lankinen's season.
Yeah.
Because Lankinen has been terrific, but he started, what, 8 of the last 9 or whatever it is?
They've really been running him hot.
Like, he started a lot of games. He's never played this many. We spoke to Woodley about this, and he said in context of what's being asked of him and his, you know, the fact that this is new to him being a starter, playing this many games in a season, these many games consecutively, that he's done well, but he's not playing, hasn't played at a super high level. Now, against the Jets, he was spectacular. He made some really good saves, right? But we have seen the more he plays and doesn't get rest, the more his game suffers. And the last thing you want is for him to kind of hit one of those lulls at this point in the season. So if Demko is healthy, like, the best edge the Canucks are going to have the rest of the season is probably going to be their goaltending. And given how Lankinen's played, if Demko takes any longer than another couple of nights, like, I'm not sure we're going to be able to get the best of Lankinen anymore. Like, he's going to, like also Woodley mentioned, it's not just about having played back-to-backs, but when you play that many games after a while, it catches up with you.
It's the accumulation of it all.
And then when you're playing every other night and the Canucks have one more back-to-back left in April, there's no time for him to catch his breath here unless he has a goaltender that can spell him. And that guy could obviously be Demko if he's truly healthy.
You know, the Canucks have defended well in front of Lankinen, but he still has been there to make a lot of big saves. And if you just look at his track record here, I mean, outside of the one start that went to Artur Shilov's, he's gone 7 consecutive starts, giving up 3 goals or less. And that's giving the Canucks a chance to win in pretty much all of those games. In the majority of those, 4 of the 7 starts, he has given up 2 or less in those games. Now, it's only a .903 save percentage. Part of that is because the Canucks do limit the shots against. So, you know, when you're saving 20 of 22, that's still barely over a .900 save percentage. So you can't really look at the raw save percentage and decide it that way. But he's kept you in games. He's given you a chance to win every time out. But we saw it earlier this season where when they started to run Lankinen hot, give him 5, maybe 6 starts in a row, that's when he has a tough one. That's when you go into Winnipeg and you're down 3-0 in the first 10 minutes of the game, and Lankinen made a stick handling gaffe on one of them. You know, like, those are kinds of the things. Not that Lankinen's been unreal for this team, but we've seen, like, he hasn't had a lot of bad starts. He's given you mostly quality starts, but when he's been poor, like, you've known it. It's very obvious, and it can sometimes, the feeling has been, it comes down to fatigue. Demko, I mean, we know what we know about Demko. He's as good a goalie as there is in the league when he is on his game. We saw a brief flash of it earlier this year before he got hurt against Toronto on February 8th. But if you get that, that's going to help you lock down a playoff spot. It's going to give you another edge in the playoff conversation.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned the workload that's been asked of other goalies. Now the Blues split their guys, but you know, Calgary, they're putting a lot on their guy in Dustin Wolf, right? Utah, it's all Vemelka, and Utah now is quite a bit back all of a sudden, having lost a couple. Like, it's funny how quickly you fall back, right? Like, there's no margin for error here for these teams. And the Flames are essentially, what, maybe two or three poor Wolf starts because he's fatigued away from them being completely out of it as well. And that could be Vancouver if Lankinen falls off and they don't have Demko come back, right? So this just brings me back to, you know, the Canucks have had really bad luck with injuries, and a lot of bad things have happened for them this season. But, you know, this Demko return could really be a massive saving grace here at a crucial time for the Canucks. Because looking at their schedule, looking at the opponents they have to play, you get the sense that they're going to have to steal a couple games.
Yeah.
And the best way to steal a couple games is having your goalie do it for you.
The other part with Lankinen, it's like, well, he's, you know, he has a career high of 37 starts. He's made 42. That doesn't seem like a big jump. That career high of 37 starts came 5 years ago, 4 years ago, his first season in the National Hockey League with the Chicago Blackhawks. These last couple of years, when he's been backing up UC Saros in Nashville, he's 17 starts. The year before that, he had 18. So to go from that to 42, plus playing a couple of games in the Four Nations faceoff, I mean, you're asking a lot of Kevin Lankinen, and he has been asked to do a lot this season. He's been rewarded with a big contract, but there is a feeling in the back of my mind, like, could the bottom drop out here at any moment given the extended workload he has had this season? So something to keep an eye on for the Vancouver Canucks, but good news that Thatcher Demko is trending towards a return to the lineup. When Pierre LeBrun, we didn't spend a lot of time on this earlier in the week, but Pierre LeBrun spoke with Patrick Alvin and said, when asked, like, are they going to address the center position? He said, yes, we will in the summer, whether through trade or free agency, it is something we will address come the off season. Now, we know that the Canucks don't have a ton of assets to trade in free agency. They will have some cap space to work with, as we've discussed. And I look over at the team on the other side here tonight, the St. Louis Blues, and how they targeted a couple of Edmonton Oilers with offer sheets to bolster their lineup in the offseason. Holloway and Broberg have been very positive ads for the St. Louis Blues in another sort of up and down season for St. Louis. So can the Canucks take a page out of Doug Armstrong's book and potentially offer sheet an eligible RFA this summer?
So the Canucks have one big problem here when it comes to offer sheets. We've discussed this a little bit, but it bears repeating.
Yeah.
The Canucks, because they don't have their own 2026 third round pick.
So when you give up an offer sheet, or when you sign a player to an offer sheet, you have to have your own draft picks.
Yes.
Not somebody else's. You got to have your own draft pick.
And because they don't have their own 2026 third, which belongs to the Calgary Flames, they traded that last year to them.
For Zadorov.
They can't make any trades.
Yeah.
They can't make any offer sheets unless the compensation is strictly a second round pick.
Okay.
Or multiple first round picks. So you're talking about the biggest offer sheet, the one that's like, you know, $10 million, $11 million, $12 million plus, depending on what the offer sheet numbers look like for next season, because they get calculated based on the cap. Last year, the compensation for a second round pick was $2 million and change to $4.5 million.
Yep.
Next year, this summer, it'll probably be max about $5
million. Mm.
So if you look at the Canucks offer sheets, unless they trade for their third round pick back, they can't do any offer sheets outside of that $5 million range and the $12 million plus range.
So the that is an interesting spot that they find themselves in, because I guess what the Blues did was they targeted Holloway with a third round pick compensation and Broberg was second round pick compensation, and it's worked out really well for them.
Yeah,
they had to significantly overpay Broberg. And Edmonton, while it was thought that they were going to match Holloway, they just with some of the other free agent signings they made in the summer, they just didn't really have enough flexibility to be able to do that, and they decided to just let the player go. Canucks are in a bit more of a bind. And while we don't know exactly how the compensation is going to stand out, you do know without their third round pick, you are pretty limited in what you are able to do. And the other part about this, and I know we get a lot of these questions, like, can they offer sheet somebody? Can they offer sheet somebody? And we appreciate all the questions. We'll have a mailbag tomorrow as well. You have a bit of a different landscape in that the salary cap is going up quite a bit this year. And so more teams are going to have the ability to match whatever offer sheet you bring up for one of their young players. So that's something to keep in mind as well. One of the reasons offer sheets are so rare is generally like a team's going to match. So why even bother with it? Maybe talk trade rather than go with the offer sheet. But teams have often not chosen to go the offer sheet route because they just know, oh, yeah, that guy's just going to, they're just going to match. They have the cap space. They'll just match.
Yeah, that's usually what ends up happening. So you're going to have to offer sheet somebody that hasn't really popped yet.
Yeah.
And the team has to really think twice about paying this player that much money.
So the first player I thought of was Maverick Bourque.
Ah, yes. He would be great.
Maverick Bourque, Dallas actually going into the summer has the least amount of cap space of any team in the league now that they've signed Mikko Rantanen into that big deal.
Yeah.
Maverick Bourque has had tremendous AHL numbers. Mm-hmm. He's coming up as an RFA this summer.
Really? Yeah.
I was super excited. Like that seems like the guy. I'm circling Maverick Bourque. That's the guy. And then you reminded me of the stipulations.
He is not eligible to be offer sheeted because he hasn't played at least 80 games in the NHL after his first contract has expired. So
this is why Jim Nill is general manager of the year every year.
Yeah, he's going to play. If he plays every game, he's like, what, 78?
77 or 78,
78
games.
Or something. Yeah. So he's not going to be eligible to be offer sheeted. So
very smart the way that they've managed Maverick Bourque's service time here, the Dallas Stars.
Very smart. So yeah, you can't offer sheet him, unfortunately. So if you look at the guys the Canucks could offer sheet, I mean, there's nobody worth the 4+.
No.
Like, I like Mason McTavish a lot, but I don't think we should be talking about giving Mason McTavish, 10, 11, 12 million, for instance. So J.J. Paterka's the other guy that, you know, you could. But again, you don't have your third. So you can't do the first, second, and a third. You can't do the,
you can always go to Calgary and be like, hey, we want our third back.
Yeah, you can trade.
St. Louis did that.
Sure.
You can trade. Pittsburgh, I think it was.
But here's the thing. Paterka's more of a wing, not a center.
Yeah.
McTavish is the guy. Is that the guy you'd do it for?
You'd probably have to give him around $10 million. Like, because Anaheim's going to, the only way Anaheim doesn't match is if it's something that they're just really uncomfortable doing.
And how much do you like Mason McTavish?
Not that much.
Definitely not $10 million.
Like, I'm not giving him double digits here to bring him to Vancouver. Like, I like McTavish, but to give him a $10 million contract plus have to give up two firsts, a second, and a third round pick or something to that effect, that would be... No, that's pretty rich.
It's ridiculous. I mean, his first year was really good. He had 17 goals, 43 points in 80 games. Last year, he had 42 points in 64 games, 19 goals. This year has 18 goals, 41 points in 62 games. Like, it's decent, but it doesn't scream impact player yet.
He's come on lately, and so the numbers look even better than they did earlier this season. But, you know, for a team like Anaheim, and I know they were kind of sneaking back into the race a little bit for a while there, most of their games, this is kind of September baseball for them. They're not playing meaningful hockey.
No, and then the rest of the guys are essentially wingers, like Matthew Nyes, for instance.
Yeah.
He's a winger. He's really talented.
He's big, too.
But how much money do you think it's going to cost for him?
Yeah, probably like $7 or $8 million or something.
Yeah. So again, you got to trade your first
back. Yeah, you have to grossly overpay the player in order to get them to sign to an offer sheet.
And maybe somebody else pays him even more.
Yeah.
But he's a guy you can look at. But he's a winger. He's not a center, right? Yeah. So if you're looking at impact center. And the rest of the guys are really wingers, dude. Like Morgan Geekie is a center. But is that a guy that you want to offer sheet?
He's had a decent year in Boston.
Yeah. Young player.
Yeah.
Has, what, 18 goals?
Yeah.
Has some size.
I'm not that into it, no.
And then the rest are...
Feels like he's kind of hitting his potential as a player, whereas like... The offer sheets I want to do are either guys that are slam dunks, or I want to try and sneak in somebody that I think has some potential to be worth a lot more than what they're currently viewed as.
Like, the guy I really like is Will Cooley from the New York Rangers. He's big. He's fast. He has like, what, 18, 19 goals this year too. And could he be interesting if you're offer sheeting him in that 4 or 5 million range? But the Rangers would probably match that, wouldn't they? Like power winger who's young,
yeah,
with size and speed, who's already going to score 20 goals. There's no way to let him go, right? Like there's no way they don't match an offer sheet in that range.
It is interesting because they do have about $10 million in projected cap space per Puckpedia, and they do have to sign Keandre Miller to a contract. So it is plausible that if you give Will Cooley something in the $5 million range, it would be the Rangers would have to figure some stuff out in order to be able to match that kind of a contract.
That's maybe interesting, but I'm sure the Rangers, because if you give Will Cooley, say, $6, $7 million,
mm-hmm.
you're probably like, I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah.
Five, given the profile, I think they probably find a way. But again, okay, he's somewhat interesting, but again, he's a winger, right? Yeah. So there are very few options here mm-hmm. the Canucks have. And anybody else, like, yeah, they can offer sheet guys, you know, on the very low range too. That's like, what, fourth round pick, whatever the thing it is. Like, what is like
third round pick. Otherwise, like last year under 1.51 or less was no compensation.
No compensation. So you could do things like that, right? So it's like, but that's not, you're not getting an impact player that way.
No.
And that's not going to happen most likely. So that's where the Canucks are. They have to find that third, they got to get their third round pick back. Now, the offer sheet numbers are for last year.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they're going to be different because the cap's gone up. So that range that they have on the cap sites from 2.29 to 4.58, that's going to change for this year. We don't know what the numbers are, but based on the cap, it's going to be north of $5 million on the high range. And then on the low range, it'll probably be in the high two range. So that's going to shift here, right? That's why we keep saying $5 million, that could be something that you do. But I think this exercise more than anything is,
it's probably not a realistic avenue for the Vancouver Canucks.
No, and yeah, they can get their third round pick back, yes.
Yes.
But we've gone through the options. The other guy is Ryan McLeod.
Yeah. Interesting player. But
he fits kind of Holloway. Like he's big, yeah. He's got some size, center, has had a good year so far with the Buffalo Sabres. Kind of fits that third
round. I don't really see him as somebody who could be a second line center, though.
No, but fair. But I'm saying, like, if you look at RFAs, these are the options. Like, these are the guys that we're talking about here, right?
I think he's a credible third line center. But other than that, Ryan McLeod doesn't really help you as a 2C here in Vancouver.
No, the other guy with Buffalo is Jack Quinn. Mm-hmm. Hasn't had a huge year, but he's shown some potential. Right-handed shot, had some scoring pop. Would a team be interested in taking a run at him and projecting that he can be a scoring winger somewhere?
Yeah.
Like these are the types of guys you're looking at. And I highly doubt a guy like Tyson Forster is going to be able to get shaken loose from Philly. He would fit that range too. An interesting player with a lot of nice tools, hasn't put it together yet, but the Flyers have all the cap space.
Baron Coquitlam, Nyes to replace Brock. Give him the money. That would be an interesting one. I do like Matthew Nyes a lot, but not sure I'd want to give up the big contract plus the draft pick compensation that it would take to get him on an offer sheet. All right, in the Canucks Central Roundup, just a couple of things. As mentioned, Demko did take the morning skate. He is nearing a return. Likely he'll play on the road trip somewhere in the middle there, maybe New Jersey. If not then, maybe the New York Islanders game next Wednesday. There's no Filip Hedl on the trip, so we are not expecting to see Filip Hedl in the near future, hoping he continues to trend in a better direction. Wonder if we'll be able to get some kind of an update on him. I'm sure he'll be asked about in the lead up to the Rangers game. There'll be more media traveling with the Canucks once they get to New York for that three-game set with the Rangers, Devils, and Islanders. So no revenge game for Filip Hedl coming up on Saturday against the Rangers. And Garland is getting back in tonight. He took part in the morning skate, skated on a line with Nils Åman and Dakota Joshua, which means Jonathan Lekkerimäki is out. And not having Jonathan Lekkerimäki on the Canucks' top power play unit kind of gives me the ick, Sam.
Yeah, it was. We were so excited about what he brought to the power play and how much space it opened up with this shot. And Garland's back. So Garland's coming back to the power play. Lekkerimäki is coming out. And I could justify keeping Lekkerimäki in if he's on power play one, but clearly they're probably plopping him back in there, Garland. So if they're doing that, and they probably feel like Carlson's better 5-on-5. And I will say, in fairness, Carlson was really good 5-on-5 against Winnipeg and had a bigger impact than Lekkerimäki. But Lekkerimäki can make a bigger impact on the power play, right?
Yeah.
So if this is a night where Carlson plays under 9 minutes, I'm not going to be very happy.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, what's the point? You may as well have the kid there and have his shot for the power play if a guy's only going to play 7-8 minutes on the fourth line. You know, like, I'd rather have the utility of that. And now, if he plays 10-11-12 and takes a regular shift and plays well, okay, fine. But I'm not going to be too keen on the decision if Carlson's getting buried and then you don't have Lekkerimäki for an option.
Carlson did have a direct impact on, you know, the Canucks' first goal with Drew O'Connor. Mm-hmm. He doesn't get an assist on it, so he's still assistless for his NHL career, but that play doesn't develop without the play that Carlson makes on the boards in the neutral zone. So that's the latest on the Canucks as they get ready for what is close to a must-win against the Blues. CIBC, smart everyday banking helps you easily track your spending with confidence. Get $450 when you make the switch. Visit CIBC.com/smart. Landon Ferraro, Canucks analyst, joins us next on Canucks Central.